Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Right now, with online marketing, just such a saturated marketplace, and there's a lot of BS out there. And, I think we're at the point where so many people are sick of it. What you need to do now more than ever is to be so truthful and vulnerable and share those little details of your life that maybe you don't think are important, but other people do.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. This is episode number 136. Hope this finds you well, whatever you're up to today. Thanks a lot for coming to hang out with me. Really appreciate it. Now, in the past two episodes, we covered YouTube ads, a topic that we'd not covered in a while here on the show. And another topic that we haven't covered in some time is copywriting, how to write better ad copy, copy for your sales pages, emails, opt-in pages, and such. Well, that changes today, my friends, because I am pumped to welcome my friend and copywriter, Kira Hug, to the show. Kira is an amazing conversion copywriter, and I've been talking to her for quite a while now to get her on the show. Finally, we were able to make that happen. Today, we get into things like the three-step process for writing high converting copy. The first thing to do before writing any copy, whether it's ad copy, sales page copy, opt-in page copy, whatever, we talk about where to find out what your ideal customers are saying about your niche. We get into what the five levels of awareness are, which level most of your customers are very likely at, and then how to write for each of those levels. We get into what quote unquote sticky copy is and why it's important. We talk about why thinking through the channels that you're writing for is critical to the success of your copy and what to look for when hiring a copywriter, including three things to ask. One question of which most people are not comfortable asking, but Kira recommends definitely asking this question, and a whole lot more here today. This is jam packed with Kira. Now, before we jump into it with her, if you'd like live in-person help from my team and me, as well as other successful online entrepreneurs, you're going to want to grab your seat at my FBA Live event, which is coming up later this month in May here in San Diego. FBA Live is a three-day intimate workshop experience where you're going to learn cutting edge online business building strategies, tips, and tactics that are working right now to grow and automate your business. I limit this event to just 40 people. Over half of those spots are already taken. And I limit it because this is really an implementation workshop. This is an opportunity for you to implement with the help of me and my team, your Facebook ad strategy to grow your business. And if you're already doing Facebook ads right now, you're going to walk away with better performing ads. We'll make improvements to what you got going on right now. We're going to be personally helping you, looking over your shoulder to make sure that you're walking away with an active, high converting campaign. Again, if you're already doing Facebook ads, you're going to walk away with better performing ads. We're going to help you discover the blind spots, the things that may be getting in your way of effectively marketing your business online, and then fix them on the spot. At FBA Live, you're also going to have rare access to and learn from some of the smartest and best online entrepreneurs around, people like Amy Porterfield, Pat Flynn, and more. And you're going to be surrounded by other like-minded entrepreneurs who are trying to grow their business just like you. So if you'd like to learn more and secure your spot, just go to rickmulready.com/live. rickmulready.com/live. All right, without further ado, we go a little bit long here with Kira, so let's jump right into it. I'd like to introduce you to Kira Hug. Kira, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're not feeling too good? Is that what I'm hearing? I've got some sniffles going.
I was like, I don't know if I should cancel on you because I don't know if you have a no sniffle rule on the show.
We are equal opportunity here on the show. We can sniffle here on the show. It's all good. It's all good. If we have to edit out any kind of crazy, you know, sniffle noises, we'll do that. But I'm sure we're going to be fine.
I think we'll be fine. I'm excited. I was just thinking, I usually ask you a bunch of questions when we chat.
I know. And they're the most uncomfortable questions in the world.
I know. And that's why I was like, oh, I'm not looking forward to this because I really nail you with uncomfortable questions. And so this could be your opportunity to get back at me.
Yes. And I was just going to like start revealing a couple of the questions that you asked me, but these might come up in the conversation here today.
I have them pulled up too.
You do?
Yeah.
I have
all your information pulled up in front of me.
Our conversations are the most painful ones for me, but then like after we're done and I start thinking about it, I'm like, man, like you are able to pull things out of me that like no one else is. And I'm like, I start thinking like on this such grander scale and I learn so much more about myself. And I'm like, man, these conversations are great. They're painful, but they're great.
They're fun. I mean, for me, they're fun. But it's harder for you because you actually have to answer these difficult questions. But you know what? I think the fun part about chatting with you and working with you is that you're so game and you're so open and you're so ready to like, and not everyone is like that. And that's why I enjoy working with you because you're just like, okay, you know, if I don't have the answer to this question, I will figure it out 2 hours from now and let you know. And you do.
And oftentimes I ask you like, well, why is this important? And you're like, well, just trust me. You don't give me a reason. You're like, just trust me. And I'm like, all right, I'll get back to you about this. Let me think about it. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. No. And I appreciate it. Especially, I'm just thinking specifically of your crayon color. I think I asked you.
I was just going to say, like the most random question I think I got was if you could be a color, correct me if I'm wrong here. If you could be any color in a crayon box, what would it be? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you asking me this? And you're like, trust me, it's important. I'm like, okay, all right. Let's give people some perspective on what were like these conversations and stuff like that. Let's start with, you know, who you are. We're talking about copywriting here on the show. Let's kind of back up a little bit and start with who you are and what you're up to.
Sure. So I am a conversion copywriter and I focus primarily on writing sales copy. So that could be anything from a long form sales page, the longer the better, to email sequences and, you know, the occasional website. But at this point, I'm really kind of focused on launch copy and storytelling. And it's all about getting the sale.
All about getting the sale and storytelling. Okay, cool. I want to get into that here today as we're talking about this stuff. How did you kind of get started in all this? I'm always fascinated especially with copywriters, like where did the start come from?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to brag, but I do have a background in poetry. I actually do have a degree in poetry from school, but primarily
I do.
I was like the nerd that actually signed up for every poetry class, which is surprising now when I think about it. But I started off in visual communication. So I was always the artist growing up, studying graphic design and kind of always in the creative space, but also balancing the business side. I always was very much interested in advertising, especially in school. And once I got into the corporate world and, you know, had sales jobs and marketing positions. And so I think I've always tried to connect this creative side with the business side. And I really got into copywriting, which I didn't really know was a thing, when I was working at a startup job for a couple of years with this startup as their director of marketing. And so in that role, I was doing many things, wearing many different hats, but copywriting was definitely a big piece of that. And I think, you know, a couple of people just started commenting and saying, hey, you're pretty good at this. Can I pay you? Can I pay you to write my website? And so, you know, a lot of copywriters get in through website copy because that is such a big need and demand. And so that's kind of, people started paying me and I liked it. And I think I had that entrepreneurial drive to build something. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to get into. And then kind of fell into the conversion path where I was really more interested in getting sales and tracking results, because for me, it's not really fun unless I know it's doing something. I don't want to just write pretty copy or flowery copy. I want it to drive results.
Now, one thing that I think that that didn't make sense. One thing that I think, one thing that I have seen in working with you is your ability to grab somebody's voice. And like, I remember this distinctly. The first time we started working together was we had about a 45-minute conversation over Skype. You were asking me a bunch of questions, not the crayon question, but we'll get into that. But you asked me a bunch of questions, and then you had written something for me with like very quickly after that, I would say within the next 48 hours. And I read it, and I was like, holy cow, I've tried to work with other copywriters in the past, but at no other point has anybody gotten my voice, quote unquote, like you have. What's sort of the trick there as far as, and I want to lead this into how people obviously can be writing their own copy, but also working with a copywriter. What's your trick in finding that voice of the person that you're working with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't think I was always great at capturing the voice of clients. I think my voice was really dominant. And some of the feedback I've received along the way through courses and programs is that I really kind of need to tone down my voice in order to capture the client's voice. So I think a lot of it is practice. But also, I think specifically with you, it's really what I've learned is just that I need as much time as possible with my client. And so with you, to just sit down and just really listen to you and, you know, take as much time as possible. And I think oftentimes, especially with new copywriters, you kind of almost are afraid to have those conversations or ask those really weird questions that we were talking about and kind of just let it go and see where the story ends up. And I think as I've gotten more confident and comfortable, I'm totally fine asking those questions and just listening. And that's where I can really start to pick up your mannerisms, you know, what you say that really stands out, different stories that seem important. So I think it's just really being a lot of time with your subject, mm-hmm. and also transcribing and taking notes. I mean, anytime I'm on a call with you, I'm taking notes the entire time, and I'm kind of adding stars if something really stands out, if it's something that seems really personal or relevant to you, I want to make sure I highlight that and include that in some way. It just starts to come together that way. So I don't know if it's really a trick, but I think just transcribing and listening are just really important principles that are needed in order to capture someone else's voice.
Yeah. So as far as, and I think the key there was like listening, you know, because I ask you, like we talked about before, when you asked me the crayon question, I'm like, why the heck are you asking me that? And you didn't give me the reason why, because I think you didn't give it to me because you don't want to lead me anywhere. You don't want to lead me into answering that in some way.
That's true. No, that's true. I don't want to lead you. I think that some of the questions I ask you, I don't know where it will lead. And so it's not even as intentional as I don't want to lead you purposely. I don't know where it will go. Mm-hmm. But if I collect a ton of content and stories from you, I will just be that much better off when I'm sitting down to write 3 emails for you. I can pull and kind of connect the dots. And so in order to connect the dots, you have to have a lot of dots. And so I think that's what I've learned along the way is the more I can collect clients and the more I can understand them as a person too. And I think that's something that I've learned along the way as well, is just I want to be friends, and I know it sounds so cheesy, but like I want to be friends with the people I work with. I need to really like them. I need to just kind of understand who they are in order to really see what makes them tick and in order to help and write for them. And so that just goes deeper than, you know, client relationships. It's sure. Just really kind of spending time with people.
You mentioned along those lines there, you mentioned like, you know, the storytelling that you really love to do. And as we've had the conversations that we've had in the past, and like I said, you know, it's painful for me during the conversation, but then I think about it afterwards. And because I'm one of those people, I'm very introspective when I come out of these conversations with you. In a good way, it's driving me to think about, like, what is that story? Like, what are the things that I'm not sharing with people to be able to help people connect with me? And It shines a big mirror on me, you know, it's like, or, you know, holds a big mirror in front of me. It's like, well, this is what you could be sharing. This is maybe some of the things that maybe you've been afraid to share with people, you know, like things that have come up that, like, I'm a huge Metallica fan, or, you know, I'm into the whole woo-woo stuff, you know, listening to like Abraham Hicks and that sort of thing. A lot of people don't necessarily know that, but when we're honest with ourselves and the ability to communicate that with people and share that in a storytelling way, I think that allows us to, you're talking about, you know, being friends with the clients that you're working with. Well, this copy allows us to connect with our customers. And then, you know, because that's either going to attract people to you or, you know, push them away because people are like, oh, like this guy likes Metallica, you know, like, okay, that's okay. You know, if that's the case, but I feel like it's almost like a free, it's hard to describe, but for me, it's like a freeing feeling knowing that I'm being more of my authentic self in the way that we're communicating through the copy. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that's my goal. And I kind of position myself as like, I write weird copy. I think, you know, that's what it says on my website. And I see weird as a really positive thing. I want to work with people who are okay to share their weird and not afraid to. And not everybody is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's also depends on the stage you are in your business. I think as you become more confident in what you're doing, you're more willing to open up and share more. And I think we bumped into each other at a time where you were kind of like, hey, I'm ready to share more. I'm ready to be more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so it just worked out. And I was like, hey, great. I'll ask you these questions and we'll figure this out together. But I think right now, you know, with online marketing, just such a saturated marketplace, and there's a lot of BS out there. And, you know, I think we're at the point where so many people are sick of it. What you need to do now more than ever is to be so truthful and vulnerable and share those little details of your life that maybe you don't think are important, but other people do. And I think I'm good at kind of picking those out because I pay attention to it. And I know what I connect to. And I know if when you're telling me a story and I'm like, oh, wow, that makes me like you even more or believe in what you're doing, I know that it will resonate with other people. So I kind of just try to gauge that as I listen to you speaking and sharing stories.
I mean, that brings up, like, when you keep asking, following up on a certain point that I bring up, like I'm sharing a, you know, something, I don't know, whatever I'm doing, like I'm going fly fishing in Montana or whatever it is. And I think it's sort of irrelevant or sort of not super, I don't know, like, well, why do people care about that? I often find that you kind of, those are the things that you go right after. And the point that you just made, like you and I had a conversation about this a little while ago where it was a case of like, no, this is what allows people to connect with you. And I mean, you are absolutely right, because it's those things that people reach out to me about. They're like asking me about, you know, how the trip was, or, you know, when are you going back up to go fly fishing in Montana or whatever it is. And it's just being okay with sharing those types of things that you might think are not very important or, you know, relevant to other people. Those are the things that like really make you human and connect you, like you mentioned, with other people out there.
Yeah, I think just people are so curious, and they just, especially when you become, you know, more of an authority in the online space, people want to know more about you. It's like we're so thirsty to know more about each other and like what feels really true and honest. And so I think if it's something that you really care about, it's important to share that with your people, because even though you don't think it's important, they care about it as well. And I think also it's part of just like showing that, you know, the human side, because I'm less likely to believe what you're saying and trust, you know, what your claims are on your sales page if it doesn't connect for me, like if there's something missing. And I think people just they can figure that out immediately if something's just not connecting for them. And I think the more you can give them the why behind what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're creating in the world, like, this is why I'm doing this, and it's a real answer, and there's no, like, you're not polishing it, the more likely they're like, oh, that makes sense. And I think that's usually what I'm asking you is just, well, why did you leave corporate America? Like, especially for you, you had this great job, you know, great resume. Yeah. I couldn't figure out, like, why would you want to leave? And then when you just shared the real story, like you were sick of, you know, kissing ass and, you know, you did not hold back and you don't hold back when you share your responses and you were sick of working with these like 20-year-olds and you knew there was more out there. And to me, I was like, oh, that's a real reason because that's the way I would do it too. Yeah. And so I think the more and more we can pull in those real reasons, you know, why are you shooting for $1 million? Why do you want to make $1 million? You know, what's the real reason behind it? And just not trying to hide from any of those responses or like your actions in that space. I think that's what people really crave.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And going through these processes with you over the past several months, it's allowed me to really experience that. As hard as it was to kind of get to that point, meaning like I'm okay with it, it's been, like I said before, it's been a huge, like, I don't know if relief is the right word, but I feel it's a, like a feeling of freedom, like being able to like, all right, you know what, put myself out there and this is it. If people don't like it, that's okay. If people do like it, great. But this is, you know, I'm not pretending to be anything. What's this process for? How can somebody go through this sort of process? We're talking about storytelling, and I immediately start thinking about Facebook ads and really what has started to, not really started, but been working well for a while now is sort of this longer form ad copy. And I know that this is, you know, we're not going to be talking solely about Facebook ad copy here today, but the longer form ad copy while we're telling a story. And so it's completely relevant to everything that we've been talking about up to this point here. How can somebody start this process of, you know, looking at the types of things that they might want to be able to share that can help them with the conversion copywriting, as you're talking about here, and the storytelling if they're not yet working with a copywriter?
Yeah, so what you're talking about is somebody is creating their own Facebook ad and they want to figure out that long form copy. How do they pull that story out of their own bank, basically?
Yeah, exactly. At the time of this recording, I just wrapped up the reopening of the FB Advantage, which is my flagship Facebook ads training program. And during the online trainings that I was doing, I was asking people, you know, what are the biggest challenges that they have? If they've not yet done Facebook ads, for example, what are some of those things that are holding them back? Or even if you're doing Facebook ads right now, what are some of the challenges that you're facing? And a lot of people, and actually it kind of surprised me, the number. I knew it was an issue for people, or I just don't know if it's an issue, but just sort of a challenge. But a lot of people are saying ad copy. And they're not really sure, you know, where to start with it and so forth. And I think that that is also, though, that bleeds into like, I don't know what to put on my opt-in page. I don't know what to put on my website. I don't know what to say on my sales page or my emails or that sort of thing. So where can someone really start with this whole process themselves?
Okay, so a place you could start that's a little bit different than what we were talking about is to really understand, you know, the voice of customer, the people you're speaking to. So while your stories are important and you can weave them in, it's more important actually to understand what the people you're selling to and speaking to, how they talk as well. So I would start there. And the way you can do that is simply by surveying them and asking them, you know, maybe 6 core questions that aren't just yes or no questions or a multiple choice. They're open-ended questions where they can really talk about, you know, what they actually want, what they're afraid of, why they're not reaching their goals. Kind of like what you just said, like, why aren't they doing X? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the real reason. And then dive deeper beyond that and interview the people that you're speaking to and selling to. And those are, I mean, every time I work with a client, I require it now that I will, you know, get on the phone and interview their customers and their community members for, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, because that's where you really can tap into what's really going on. And so that's even more helpful than a survey, but at least start with a survey. And I'm always looking for what I call, again, the sticky copy voice of customer, what people are actually saying. So while I love to write, I'm actually really curating and looking for what people are saying and pulling in their messages. And that's where I create the copy. And that's where, you know, I pulled in copy for emails, for sales pages. And that's where you can start with Facebook ads to understand, you know, what pain points they're dealing with. Well, just pull what they're saying. And, you know, Facebook groups are a great place to start. And, you know, I know we're all in Facebook groups. Maybe you have your own Facebook groups. I believe everyone should have a Facebook group just so that you can have this like database of copy. I mean, it's a gold mine for a copywriter and any business owner to be able to ask questions in there and then pull in this rich copy that you can then reflect back to your audience and give them exactly what they're saying. So they're like, oh my gosh, how did you know that? How did you know I was thinking that? And I will also say that in Facebook groups, people, you know, they're really open. It's amazing how vulnerable and willing to share people are and to share what they're actually thinking and what's troubling them. And I mean, I'm just constantly in groups, like, you know, just pulling in copy and observing and watching what people are posting, especially during launches too. When my clients are launching, I'm trying to see in real time, you know, what the people just enrolled are saying, why did they enroll, what people are saying when they haven't enrolled, and what's preventing them from enrolling in this program. So it's just a lot of observation and really kind of paying attention and then pulling in that language into your ad copy.
A couple of things I want to just sort of take out of that and talk about briefly is one thing that I know that you've done so well, and what you were talking about there is if we're writing, let's just say we do a webinar launch, for example, then we have a follow-up email sequence before the cart closes down. You are in the Facebook group for that program and you are watching what people are saying. All the new members coming in are commenting and sharing. And I know that recently with this most recent launch that I just did, you were in there like grabbing comments from people saying, you know, like, I'm a grandma of five and you've just made understanding the Facebook pixel like super easy to do, you know, like you're in there grabbing. So this is a good tip for anybody. If you're launching, for example, and you've got a Facebook group for the program, be looking at what the comments are that people are saying as people are joining the group, because this is not only great language for you, but this is testimonial stuff. This is social proof that your program is working. And you can, of course, always try to get permission for people to use that in your emails and so forth, or maybe in your Facebook ads. But this is a goldmine, as you mentioned, Kira, like this is the copy. This is your ideal audience. And they're telling you the type of stuff to be saying and talking about.
Yeah, I've been actually thinking a lot about it just with some recent launches, how, you know, you can write an email sequence ahead of time. You can write it, you know, months ahead of time for a launch, but you really need to give it space and flexibility so that you can rewrite or shift it completely while you're in the launch mode, you know, over those 5 days, because what's happening in real time, you know, you may find out that the reason people are joining this time is totally different than last time. And you have to be able to make those changes, you know, at last minute and reflect who these new people are that you're attracting and why did they join. And it's so fun to see, for me as a copywriter, to see if the reason they're joining is because of kind of like what we put out there. And if it's not, you know, then to be also be able to address any objections too, because people are more than willing to share their objections, especially when they're trying to figure out whether or not it's for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's go to the other side of that. Let's just say that, you know, we're not talking about a launch here. We're not talking about a Facebook, like somebody doesn't have a Facebook group and maybe they don't even have any customers yet, but yet they want to do this. They want to, you know, start writing copy in the language of their ideal audience. What are some resources, or what are some, maybe not resources, but what are some places or strategies that they can do to try to get, you know, to try to look at what the language is that their ideal audience is using?
I mean, you still have to have that conversation. So even if you don't have any clients, then you need to figure out, well, who do you want to work with, and still have those conversations, because you can't, I don't really believe in the avatar, like creating the avatar in your head and just creating this make-believe person and speaking to that person. I think you need to have a real picture of who that is, a live person you can sit across and, you know, buy a cup of coffee and ask those questions and record the conversation before you sell anything.
So how would they meet? Are we talking about, I mean, because you can be in other Facebook groups where your ideal audience is. And so you can be, you know, observing, as you put it there.
Yes.
But
yeah.
In addition, what you're saying is if you can, like finding your ideal customer, who you think your ideal customer might be, and having a conversation with them, whether it's over Skype or whether it's if you can meet them in person or whatever. So are we talking like conferences and that sort of thing? Is that sort of what your thought process is there?
Yeah, and I guess I'm pushing this kind of far, and I'm challenging everyone to really to schedule calls, to sit down with people, and I know that's hard. So while that is the best, if we can back up a bit, what is easier is to go online. If you don't have groups, if you don't have your own group, you can go in other Facebook groups that have your ideal client in it and pay attention there. Or you can also go on other websites. I mean, you can go on Yelp, which is also another gold mine, and find out similar services. So if you are a hair salon, you know, look up other hair salons and read the reviews there and find out, especially ones like, it's great to read the 5-star reviews. And but those also, you also want to find like the 3 stars and the 2 stars and find what people don't like, you know, what they wanted and they were expecting and then it's not delivered. So I find a lot of great information on Yelp as well, and Amazon reviews too, if you're selling a certain type of product. And you can look at Amazon and find a similar product and then read those reviews and find out what people loved about it, what they didn't like, what they wanted more of, and you can create from there. So there are, I mean, are multiple opportunities if you don't quite feel ready to sit down with someone. Maybe you're not at that stage, you don't feel comfortable getting into a 20-minute Skype interview yet.
So once they have that language, if you will, they've either had that conversation with somebody or they've, you know, been observing in a Facebook group or looking at Amazon or Yelp or whatever, what's sort of the next step? They got the language. Okay, now what?
Yeah, that's a great question. So from there, I start to organize the information. So usually I'm compiling it for, say, a long form sales page. So I'll start to put it in different buckets. Usually I have a bucket for, you know, objections or benefits. What do they actually want? What are some of their hesitations? What are some of their pain points right now? What does their life look like? What are some details from their everyday life that may really connect to them? And so I'll start to kind of bucket the information. So I'm organizing it roughly. And it's kind of, I think this is where my background in art really kind of connects for me, because it's a messy process. Like, it's kind of like a work of art as you organize it. But ultimately, I'm bucketing it so I can shape it and place it on an actual sales page. So that's usually the direction I want to go.
Okay. Okay. So if I'm sitting down, I'm like, all right, I want to write. I've got some language here. I've got my buckets. And let's just say I want to write, let's just say maybe an opt-in page where let's just keep it super simple, where it's, we don't have to go into super long detail, you know, as far as the long form copy or anything like that. Where could we start with, like, what type of information might we want to think about picking out of there?
Okay. Yeah. So a good place to start is just to know the level of awareness of your reader when they land on that page. So basically, this is, they're usually pain aware. Typically, I'm writing to a pain aware reader. And that means they have no idea what your product is or that your product is better than everyone else's. But they do know that they have this big, you know, this pain in their life that they want to go away immediately. So most likely, most of us are speaking to kind of that pain aware reader. And so you can start there. And that's where you can pull in this voice of customer data that you've pulled from surveys, from interviews, from mining on Yelp, and figure out what those pain points were and use the language of your customer. And I think that's usually the challenge, is we start to kind of use our own language and kind of sound the way we think that we should sound as a marketer, and we forget about the language of our customer. But capture that and don't lose their voice, and start speaking to the pain in order to kind of pull the reader into this landing page, because you have to catch their attention and you have to kind of intrigue them to keep reading. And if you're speaking to their exact pain, and it seems like you understand it better than anybody, maybe better than their partner, then they're going to keep reading. And so that's the best place to start. If you can nail that, then you've got a really good start, and you can even create a headline from that voice of customer around potentially the pain points as well.
Okay. Kira, we're talking about pain aware and having that level of awareness. You mentioned there's different levels of awareness, right? Are there other ones that we should be, I mean, most people are going to be in that pain aware, like talking about if we're able to speak to that pain and solve that pain on our landing page or in our emails or our copy or whatever, are there other levels of awareness that we should be aware of?
I mean, yes, there are. So there are five levels of awareness. And, you know, the first one is totally unaware. They have no idea. They don't even know they have pain. They do have the pain. They don't know they have the pain. In that case, you know, you could start, instead of starting with pain points, you'd want to just start with this big idea that captures their attention. And then we already talked about pain aware. Beyond that, there's solution aware. So that means that they know there are solutions out there that can help them. They just don't know which solution is best. So if you're starting with a solution aware reader, you can start with emotions or their desires or what they actually want and kind of paint that picture. Beyond that, you know, there's a product aware reader so that they know that your product is a product that could help them, but they haven't been convinced that it is the best product yet. Mm-hmm. And really the most aware stage is when they know that your product is the best one for them. And at that point, you know, you just kind of have to use some urgency and scarcity and incentive to get them to convert at that stage.
So as we're talking about these five levels here, as I'm thinking about this, I mean, it really brings up, and maybe not to state the obvious here, but it really brings up the fact that we can understand who our audience is that we want to be talking to. But oftentimes within that audience, there's going to be different segments of people, basically, or buckets of people, if you will. And, you know, that's something that I feel like in working with you over the past several months, I feel like we've done a really good job of that as far as identifying, okay, here's our target audience, but within that target audience, there's going to be three or four different segments, if you will, of people. Once that's been identified, then we're speaking to each one of those segments based on their level of awareness. Am I describing it correctly?
That is correct. I think also, though, the buckets that we're speaking to are different. They're dealing with different challenges mm-hmm. in each bucket, and they're in different places in their business as well. So I would say this makes it more complicated, but within each bucket and segment of your audience, within there's probably different levels of awareness. So the level of awareness is really the awareness of what you have to offer to them. So mm-hmm. there may be someone in one bucket who has no idea who you are, and there's somebody else who's been following you for a couple of years. And the way that you'll market to those two different people is it's different. So I think the more we can understand all of the different segments in our audience and how aware they are throughout the sales process, the more likely you will get sales and convert. But it's tricky. It's not so easy. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And then so within that, are there certain, you mentioned it's tricky, are there certain elements that probably, and granted, every situation is going to be different and unique, but are there generally certain elements that should be in, you know, the copy that we're writing?
Yeah. Okay. So yes, definitely. I will say objections are important. Like objections never really go away until people are buying something. So even though I may be product aware and I know what you're offering and I've read through the copy, I may still have some objections that you'll need to tackle in the last email that you send to me or the second to last email. So I think throughout your sales page copy, potentially like a Facebook ad copy, email copy, you need to figure out what are those top objections. And I would rank them too. What are the top five objections that you're facing? And you should know those and know them really well. And that's what you can pull out of the research and the surveys and the interviews. So you're very clear there and make sure you're addressing those objections often. And maybe you have to address the same one a couple of times because it's a big one. And so that will never go away until they actually buy.
And as you're talking about that, and just sort of I'm thinking about just the whole conversation we're having here, I think the general theme, and this was a huge challenge for me, especially coming out of the corporate world where I was all like robotic, like business speak, you know, and and I had a really big transition in, you know, just like writing shorter sentences and speaking more conversational. But that is the thing that I really want to really focus on and hone in on here is that fact that we do need to be talking like we need to be writing like we're talking in the conversational tone, especially on Facebook, but really in all of our emails, on our sales page copy, our landing pages and so forth, talking like we would be, just like you just said, the best thing we can do to hear from our customers is to sit down with them. And so writing our copy from that perspective, as if we're sitting down having a conversation with them. Would you agree?
Yes, and I think it's all about context. So if it's copy within Facebook, it will be different than copy on a sales page and also different from an email. So, I mean, you have to kind of work within the platform. And so people do write differently on Facebook. So potentially, you know, you use that voice of customer copy from the Facebook groups that you've pulled that copy, and that's what you use in your Facebook ad copy, because that would be more powerful than potentially an Amazon review. So I think it's, yeah, really thinking through the different channels and how people are speaking on that channel, because it is different.
So can we break this down? I don't even know if we can. If someone's like, okay, this is all great, I love all this stuff, but I still, like, where do I, like, give me the three things I need to do as I start to, and granted, this is going to be different whether you're writing ad copy, whether you're writing a sales page or an opt-in page or emails or whatever. But okay, we start by figuring out what our ideal audience or ideal customers are saying, having a conversation with them or observing. And then we're sort of bucketing out kind of the different types of things that we might be able to be or might want to be discussing in our copy. What's sort of like, I kind of want to give a couple step process here for people to kind of think about when they sit down for copy. Copy, not coffee.
Copy and coffee.
Yes.
Okay, so I think this is what you just said, basically. The first place is to make sure that you're working with the correct information. So you could write an entire launch campaign, and if you didn't do the research, then it's going to be way off. So I would say start by asking those key questions, you know, about looking for pain points, benefits, what goals are. Ask, you know, your potential clients what their goals are and what's preventing them from actually hitting those goals. And so really understanding your client in a multifaceted way so that you can speak to what they want, and you know them really better than anyone because mm-hmm. you've done the research. So I think if you can't put the time in there, the other pieces are just going to fall apart. So I'd say that's step one.
Okay.
Step two is organizing that information. I would say that's something, I mean, I typically organize in Google Docs, but so you have that information so you can incorporate it into different channels. So you have it, you can pull it into Facebook ad copy, you can pull it into your email copy, into your sales page copy, but you understand like the basic components of your pain points and benefits and objections, hesitations. So you have that organized. So I guess it's just taking it a step further by actually organizing the information that you've collected from step one.
Okay. Are we done with?
I was gonna say step three is like it's writing.
it's writing time.
The copy.
Okay.
Sitting down and writing the copy.
Okay. Now that's often, but we have that information, and I'm playing this sort of devil's advocate here, because once we have that information, we have the objections and all that stuff. We've talked to the customers or observed, and we have the sort of bucketed out and organized it. Like, are we starting with, and again, this is going to be sort of general here, but I want to give somebody can we give somebody a concrete, like, once you have this information, start here, like, or the next step, that step three, like, we start writing, is that are we just taking everything we've just gathered here and just writing out stuff, or is there sort of like a concrete place to start once we have all this data and information?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so instead of just saying, just start writing, mm-hmm. which is big, I think it's just, so I would say step three is just knowing where you're going. And so where you want, you know, from point A to point B to drive this customer. And that will be different for every project that you're working on.
Sure.
So if you can understand the call to action and where you want to go, it'll be easier to outline the page and kind of create like a rough draft of a page before you even start to polish or edit if you know the end goal. And I think oftentimes it sounds obvious, but we don't always know the end goal, or we just kind of start writing and there's no clarity there.
Yeah.
So I'd say just to have that clarity will help you when you sit down.
I love it. Okay. Well, thank you for answering that very concretely, because I was like, I know that people are listening are going to be saying, like, all right, Rick and Carrie, just tell me like where to start.
No, I know. I feel like it's not concrete at all. I feel like it's challenging because I'm basically saying, go sit down and write. And that's not easy.
Right. Exactly. Staring at a blank screen. I do want to finish off here in just a second with some of these questions that you ask me, if it's cool, if you're willing to share some of these questions. But before we do that, if somebody does want to hire a copywriter, What are some of the things that they should be asking, what they should be looking at? You know, how do they go? Like, what are some good places to start with that? Where can people go?
Yeah, so, well, you can go to copyhackers.com. There is a listing page there with a bunch of copywriters. A lot of them are my friends, and they're legit, really talented people. So if you just like have no idea where to go, that's a great place to start. Oftentimes, it's great to go through referrals as well. I mean, there are a lot of copywriters out there, but if you know, you know, how someone's performed, what their track record is, what they do really well, and you've heard this from a friend or a colleague, I mean, that's more powerful than anything. Yeah. So if you can pull in the referral, start there. Typically, I mean, get on a call with them and don't feel shy about asking your questions. I would look for case studies and ask them for case studies, ask them for results. I think that's a question that people are shy to ask copywriters, but it's important to know how a similar project performed and what their track record is, depending on the project that you need. But most likely, if you're listening to this, you want to know if they can write conversion copywriting or not.
Yeah.
So that's really important as well. And I would also add that you need to feel comfortable with them. And I think that's pretty clear from this conversation, but you need to really feel like you can sit on a call with them or in person with them for an hour or two and just chit chat and open up about stories, experiences you may not share with everyone. Because if you can't share that with your copywriter, then I have a feeling your copy is not going to be compelling and you're not going to really show up in the copy. It's just not going to work out.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point there. And if a copywriter, a potential copywriter, isn't willing to do that with you, then that's a red flag right there. Like, you know, hey, can we schedule a call, you know, an hour to talk? If they're not really willing to do that, then that's a big red flag right there.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, most of them are willing to do that. I think it's just a matter of whether or not you click with them and whether or not they have results. And also asking about their process, too. Everyone has a really different process. And so making sure it's a process you feel like is a good fit and you feel confident in, and that they kind of can answer and address any objections you may have as well. But, you know, copywriters nowadays have, they kind of each specialize in something. So make sure the copywriter you need specializes in exactly what you need. I would tend to stay away from generalists, although I know there are plenty of great ones, but I'm drawn to specialists at this point.
Yeah. And what I actually just, while we're talking here, I just pulled up Copy Hackers and there's a, you know, Copy Hackers for Hire section of the site. And it's in each person here, it lists out, it shows a picture of them, shows where they are and also what they specialize in. So to your point, Kira, it shares right there what they're really good at, what they enjoy, what they specialize in. And if that aligns with you, that might be a potential, you know, you as you guys listening, if it aligns with what you're looking for, it's telling you right then and there.
Yeah. And I would also add, and maybe some copywriters won't like me saying this, but, you know, if someone says, hey, they get on a call with you and they're like, I can write anything, you know, whatever you need, I can write it. That would be a red flag for me as well. I would want to work with someone who's like, hey, I am the best email copywriter you will ever meet, and they're really good at, you know, one or two things. I think that'll give them an edge.
Isn't that what you said to me? You're like, Rick, I can write anything.
I probably did.
All right, before we wrap up here, I do want to kind of share some of these questions that you ask me, and I don't want to give any context. Like, I don't want to give like why you're asking me, because I didn't get that answer. So I want it to be, you know, I want people to hear some of these questions just like I was hearing them in our conversation. So the first one, I'll just get you started here. The first one that you'd ask me was, if you were a color in a crayon box, what would it be? And I came home that day and I told my wife, Amy, I was like, get this. This is what Kira asked me today. She's like, ooh, that's such a great question. I was like, really? That's the worst.
See, she knows.
She totally. She's a creative person. Okay, what else? What are the questions? What are the crazy questions that are good to get people thinking, you know, when they're starting to think about their copy?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I'm thinking of some questions I asked you. What do you want to be? Or what did you want to be when you grow up? And again, I think it's just questions that may tell you something about the person that you didn't know otherwise. I also asked you what type of superhero or cartoon you would be.
Yes.
And you did not have that answer right away.
I didn't.
But you came back to me. And what did you say?
Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you about that. Where that came from is that was another question I shared with my wife, Amy. And we talked through that. Because she loves superheroes and stuff. She's like, oh, that's a great question. And I'm like, but I'm not super into it. So I don't really know. I immediately think back to like Tom and Jerry when I'm like growing up, when I'm you know, aging myself here. But as we talked through it, we were kind of, so she knows all the superheroes and I really wanted it to be a superhero. And she's kind of giving me ideas just as far as like the character. And I was like, from what I knew enough about them to be like, no. Oh, that's a possibility. No, you know, and then we land on Iron Man and I'm like, ooh, I like that because I've seen the movies obviously. And I knew about his background and we just sort of talked through it. I'm like, yes, that's it. Like, and so what people might think, and there's a new, I'm going to give kind of people a little behind the scenes here. I have a new website coming out. Depending on when this episode comes out, it might be out or might be just coming out pretty soon, but it's a complete rebrand. It's a complete look, you know, all new copy, for example. And we are talking about, you know, there's a mention about Iron Man, but it's not like Iron Man from a perspective of I've been doing this for so long, you know, like they have in sports. They're like, this person's played in, you know, 600 games or whatever, you know, they call him the Iron Man. No, not like that. It's for more of the qualities of that character. So maybe I'm giving too much away for why you asked that question, but
no, but I think what's interesting is when I asked that question, I didn't know again what it would turn into. Yeah. And I kind of actually thought like it's probably not, I probably won't be able to use it anywhere, or maybe it'll just be for an email that kind of gets lost eventually. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that we'd use that on your website copy,
right.
But then it just fit perfectly. And I'm so glad. And it reinforces the fact that I should be asking these questions,
yes.
Which is a dangerous thing. But, you know, I also asked you, if you could be any animal in the world, what would you be and why? Which, again, right. I was like, not sure where this will lead, but we were able. Well,
that was an easy one for me.
You can answer it. And the funny thing is, I didn't think it would be an easy answer for you. And you were just like, oh, yeah, that's really easy.
Right.
And then you had this long explanation, which maybe you can share now because I think it's interesting.
Well, it was a monkey. And I love monkeys. Like, I've always loved monkeys. I love how carefree they are and how much fun they're having. And they're just, you know, zipping around and they're out there to have fun. They are just quick and agile and smart and they show affection very well. Like, I think I talked to you about the fact that I know this is kind of weird, but they pick bugs off of, you know, their either parents or mates or whatever to show their affection. When I lived in Washington, D.C., I used to go to the National Zoo just to hang out. I used to go into the monkey cage, not in the monkey cage, but sit at the monkey cage and watch the monkeys. And yeah, so that was just, that was a super easy, like that was boom. I got to answer that one. I was very proud of myself for that one.
And again, we were able, I was like, how would we possibly ever use this anywhere? But in your web copy, this will reappear. And so we were able to use it and we'll probably be able to use it in email copy as well at some point. And I think it just shows, you know, it just paints the picture of, you know, here's the weird side of Rick, right? It's just like these little things that you think don't matter, but it just kind of makes you a little bit more human and makes you more real and kind of pulls you out from this like flat URL website and turns you into this real person that people are like, oh, you know, I get him. Like, I like monkeys too, or something strange.
Or
like
I hate monkeys, so right. I'm not going to connect with Rick.
Right, I'm off his list.
Right, exactly. I'm done. I'm unsubscribing. I'm not buying his programs.
No.
Not listening to this podcast anymore.
You're going to lose people, definitely.
Yes, that's okay. That's okay.
Also, though, I asked you, and I like this, you know, kind of try to get at what you're actually selling. Like, all your programs are about the core part of it. And a lot of what you're creating is centered around freedom.
Yeah.
And it's such a big part of your story. And I think that really came together recently. And so I also like to find out, what is freedom? I mean, freedom is different for everyone. What does that look like for you? And what does it taste like? And for you, you had a clear picture. It was a brunch and you knew exactly what freedom felt like because it was brunch on a Friday and it was a particular meal and you had like the exact meal down. And so I could taste and feel what freedom felt to you. And I think that's something, if you can capture that for your audience, it will really draw people in.
Yeah. And I mean, ironically, we had that. I was sitting in the car before going into that brunch on a Friday, and like when you and I were talking. So it was very, like this is it right here. I'm like, I'm sitting, it's, you know, 11:30 on a Friday and I'm at the beach right now, ready to walk into my favorite brunch place. And we're talking about this. And so this is exactly what, you know, what we're talking about. And just to kind of wrap up basically on essentially on what you were just saying, I got a note from one of my students last week in one of the Facebook groups, and they said, I don't know exactly, remember word for word, but she was essentially saying to the effect of, you know, thank you for creating this program and this community here. I'm so much happier creating what I'm doing right now that Facebook ads are helping me grow. And not only am I happier, but my daughter, and I forget how old, she's a young daughter, my daughter is seeing that, and she's seeing how happy her mom is doing this. And so, you know, this woman was saying, like, not only are you changing me and helping me and giving me more freedom in what I'm doing, but you're also, the effect there is on my family and what my family is able to see and do and that sort of thing. Like, that's what this is all about for me. Like, that is amazing.
And that's a perfect testimonial.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm sure we're using somewhere.
Yes, we are. Of course. Yes.
I think a lot of it comes down to just people are really skeptical, and they just kind of want to know that what you're packaging and putting out there and selling really matches your beliefs and also your actions. And it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, but it just means that I think we want to, again, like, connect the dots and make sure it matches, and that what you're speaking about with freedom is something that you do value and you're striving for, even if you're not doing it day to day, because it's still a struggle. And I think just being honest about the fact that it's still a struggle, it's not easy for anyone, and just to be real about it, because I think it's more of a turnoff when people are talking about freedom and how everything is perfect and they're totally free every day and there's no struggle. And it's like, well, I don't believe that.
Right.
So why
would
I buy into that?
Yeah. That's not real life. Yeah, exactly.
It's not real life.
Kira, I'm just looking at how long we've been going here. Like, we could talk for like hours more on this, but I mean, this has been amazing. I've taken a whole bunch of notes here on just sort of for myself, and also to make sure that I'm conveying and I'm communicating in my copy about this episode for you. So I got to thank you for coming on here. I know we've been talking about it for a while to have you on the show. This has been amazing. So thank you very much for coming on here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the show and so much fun to work with you. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. And before we go, I know that people are going to say, where can I connect with Kira? Like, I want to work with Kira, and I want to caveat this. And of course, you can say it yourself too, but you are not taking on any new clients right now. But if people want to connect with you, whether it's your website or social media, where can people do that?
You can connect with me at KiraHug.com. You can hang out with me there, reach out, say hello. Yes, I'm currently not taking clients, but that doesn't mean we can't be friends.
That's right. You can always be friends. And as you can hear, everybody, from this episode here with Kira, Kira is an amazing person. So definitely connect with her. And again, Kira, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one with Kira today. Don't forget, you're invited to my FBA Live event later this month in May here in San Diego. This is a 3-day intimate workshop experience where you'll learn cutting edge online business building strategies, tips and tactics that are working right now to grow and automate your business. Most importantly, this is an opportunity to implement, with the help of me and my team, your Facebook ad strategy to grow your business. And if you're already doing Facebook ads, we are going to improve your ads while you are there at the event. In addition, you're going to hear from people like Amy Porterfield, Pat Flynn, and others. So to learn more and secure your spot, just go to rickmulready.com/live, rickmulready.com/live. I limit it to just 40 people. And at the time of recording this, there's over half of those spots are already gone. So make sure to check that out if you are interested. All the links and the resources that Kira and I talked about today, you can find over in the show notes for today's episode, which is at rickmulready.com/136. Thank you so much, my friends, for listening to today's episode. Really appreciate it. Got a lot more great content coming your way in the next week's episode. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in that next episode.
Do you want to avoid? avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.